Maybe they just hope that by coming to your house, they would have something to do. Does that cover just about every reason why somebody just randomly shows up to your house? So today in our God With Us series, as we continue on, we talk about the purpose of why Jesus came. Ultimately, we talk about why Jesus came. And if you have your Bible, would you please open it this morning to the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Well-known verse, everybody in here should know it. But if you don't have your Bible, would you find somebody to share with, or you can look at the screen as well. But you guys have seen me hand out candy for Bibles. You've seen me encourage Bibles. And it is my goal that everybody in here will have a Bible on any given Sunday. And the reason for that is, this is good, right? This is better. There's a difference when you're opening up the book to read versus looking at it on a screen. And by having your Bible with you, by turning to the scripture, regardless if it's the same version I read or not, guess what it does? It teaches you where to find it in the Bible. So that's my ultimate goal, is to prepare you when you're out in life and things are stinky. Guess what? You know where to turn to find Sunday's verse in your Bible because you had it with you Sunday in church. So let me encourage you, if you don't have your Bible, please bring one with you. And if you don't have one, call me. I will get a Bible placed in your hands. So as you find that passage, I just want you to imagine with me a firefighter rushing into a burning building where the flames are intense, the danger is overwhelming, and everything inside is chaos. Have you ever seen movies about fires? Just complete chaos, right? It's just fire everywhere. Yet the firefighter doesn't hesitate to enter inside the building. Why? Because someone inside that building is trapped. Someone inside that building cannot save themselves and they cannot escape on their own. Just as the firefighter risked everything to save the one who is lost, guess what? Jesus came to rescue us with even greater love and sacrifice. See, let's see what God's word has to say about Jesus' purpose. Let's get to our scripture this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. See, Jesus' arrival wasn't random. His arrival wasn't incidental. Rather, it was intentional. His arrival was intentional. He came with a purpose, and here's the purpose. He came to save us. He came to reveal God's love. And he came to restore a broken relationship. See, this purpose changes everything about how we see and how we live in this world. But did you know that this love wasn't just demonstrated once? It wasn't just Jesus coming and doing it, and then it was, and now we remember back. Rather, this is something that is a continuing force that guides us, it sustains us, and it brings light to the darkest places of our lives. Welcome the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ with us, the Holy Spirit. So God's love in action, the first reason, the first purpose for why Jesus came was to show God's love in action. The birth of Christ is the ultimate demonstration of God's love for humanity. There's not a better way that he could have shown his love than to give his only son. And there's a couple of passages. I don't remember if these made it to your fill in the blank for at least a reference. I hope they did. They might be on your reflection sheet for this week. But 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, it says this: in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, I did not say that right, propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means Jesus took the punishment for our sins, satisfying God's justice and restoring our relationship with Him. If you need to know how to spell it, it's up on the screen. Don't ask me to say it again. Romans 5:8, it says this, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So do you know that this has nothing to do with us and what we've done, but it has to do with everything that He has done for us. So the birth of Christ, it shows how much God loves humanity. Christmas is more than just a historical event. It's more than just a holiday where we give gifts to each other. What Christmas is and what it should do is it should remind us of God's deep and personal love for us. I don't know where everybody is at this year and what Christmas is going to look like for you and what the season brings, but what it should bring is should be a reminder that God loves you deeply and He loves you personally. He knows exactly where you're at and what you need. And we need to reflect on His love. And also, let's keep in mind this, that God's love is not distant and it's not passive. It is active and it is intentional. God's love is active and intentional. When Jesus was born, God was not just telling us He loved us, He was showing it. Has anyone ever, when somebody apologizes, you say, "You got to prove it to me"? Have you ever heard that? "Prove that you're sorry to me." Well, first off, what does that even mean, right? But God, in His love for us, He showed us. He didn't just tell us. He showed us that He loved us. See, He sent Jesus, who entered our broken world, took on human form, and lived among us. The Creator came to His creation to rescue and heal it. And we are all part of His creation. What's amazing is that this love has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with who you are. It has nothing to do with who I am or anything that I have done, because we cannot earn it and nor do we deserve it. It is given freely. It is given to us freely, because God loves us for not who we are, but He loves us for who He is. Any other relationship in the world is based off of who that person is. God's love has nothing to do with who I am, but who He is. His love is unconditional, it is sacrificial, and it is deeply personal. Compared to this, this isn't a great, because they're imperfect, but let's think about this. Think about the lengths that people will go for those who they love. So yesterday, I had my family out in the woods to go deer hunting. Alicia's never shot a deer, but she's trying. Both boys, they came along because we gave them no other choice. But for me, do you know how much fun it was to have my family in the field with me doing something that I like to do? Even though I took a 5-minute nap while deer hunting, I had other eyes watching for the deer that were non-existent, by the way. We didn't see anything all day long. But then think about this, a parent staying up all late or all night for a sick child. Who's done that before? For those who are teenagers and kids, you will someday experience that. And there is no other sacrifice greater than sleep, I am convinced, as a parent. But then what about giving up their free time to a friend to help somebody in need? See, these are sacrificial, and although these acts, they are imperfect, they reflect the kind of love that God has for us. They're a reflection. His love goes even further than those examples. He sent His Son to meet our greatest need, the need for salvation, the need to be reconciled back to God, because until that happened, there is a gap, there is a distance between man and God because of sin. So Christmas reminds us that love is not just a feeling. It is action. Christmas reminds us that love is not just a feeling, it is action. God did not stay distant, watching from heaven, uninterested. Rather, he came to us. He shared in our pain. He provided a solution to our biggest problem. And do you know what that problem was? Sin. Separation from God. This morning, consider this truth. God chose to pursue you. He did not wait for you to come to him. God pursued you. This kind of love changes everything. God's love in action, it shows us that he came close. He stepped into our brokenness to bring us salvation. His coming was not just an act of love, it was also a source of hope. Because where does our hope lie in as Christians today? In the Lord Jesus. In no one else, in nothing else do we have hope besides in Jesus. And the world that Jesus entered was not just broken, it was dark. Darkness represents fear, confusion, and separation from God. Yet into that darkness came a great light. What is darkness, by the way? Absence of light. Darkness is an absence of light. So into that darkness came a great light. Jesus brings that light to the darkness. This is the second reason for why Jesus came, was to bring light to the darkness. Jesus came to bring light and hope to a lost and a hurting world. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world." Not me, not Mike Leonard, but I. Jesus says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So darkness, again, it symbolizes fear, confusion, hopelessness, and a separation from God. And during Isaiah's time, again, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the people of Israel, they faced a deep spiritual and a natural, national darkness. They longed for help and to see their relationship restored back to God. Isaiah's prophecy reminds us that darkness does not last forever. Because Isaiah chapter 9 is the chapter of prophecy of Jesus' coming. A great light is coming to overcome despair and hopelessness. That light is Jesus. His birth fulfilled this prophecy, bringing God's presence into a dark world filled with sin. So what does it mean for Jesus to be the light of the world? What does this mean? Light reveals what is hidden. Light reveals what is hidden. It offers guidance, and it also brings life. See, without light, without Jesus, we stumble and we lose our way. If you've ever walked through a dark house at 3 a.m. to not wake anybody up to go use the bathroom, and you step on a Lego, we stumble and lose our way, don't we? I hope that these laughs are laughter of knowing exactly what I'm talking about. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And what this is Jesus is telling us that he can answer the darkness in every human heart. Right now, I would just encourage you to start thinking about those that are around you that need to experience the light of Jesus. We all have family, we all have friends, we all have coworkers. If I were to take a poll, I guarantee that everybody in here knows somebody who needs the light of Jesus in their life. Right? Jesus can answer the darkness in every human heart. He shows us the truth about God and about ourselves. His light reveals sin, so it shines light on the sin, but it is not to shame us. It is never to shame us, but rather it is to lead us to change and healing and wholeness in Him. It brings about reconciliation when we deal with sin. Imagine being lost in darkness, not being able to see anything, not even your own hand. Have you ever been down to the Mark Twain cave, the National Cave or whatever? They take you deep down into the cave, and then they say, we're going to shut off the lights. You want to talk about total darkness. There is no amount of time that your eyes will adjust to how dark it is. Somebody could punch you and you would never know who. That's if they could figure out where they were punching, because it's so dark to see. So we've been there. It is pitch dark. And there is no light that gets down there into those deep. So you can't even see your own hand. Now, while the darkness is present, you're in the cave, you can't see anything. Now picture someone shining a bright light to show you the way out. That light just pierces the darkness, doesn't it? It shines and it lights. It brings light to the walls and to the path that you're going. That's exactly what Jesus does. He enters our darkness to guide us toward hope, freedom, and life. Just as physical light helps us to see and to move around easily, spiritual light reveals truth and it shows us the way to God and gives us hope. Jesus came not just to bring light, but with a purpose, which is to save us. The light that he offers, it offers comfort, it guides us, and it illuminates the path to salvation. It illuminates the path to growth, and it rescues us from sin and death. That in itself is worth the cost of admission. Okay? Our third reason why Jesus came, the purpose, was salvation through Christ. He came to bring salvation. Jesus' purpose was to save, not to condemn. His birth leads directly to the cross and the resurrection. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to what? To seek and to save the lost." For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The main reason for Jesus' birth was to save humanity. His arrival was not just a sign of love or a source of light. It was a mission to rescue us. It was a rescue mission. When we are lost in sin and we couldn't help ourselves, we had no knowledge of how to get out, Jesus came to find us and show us the way to salvation. Look at Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." See, these actions, they are not passive. It's the action. To seek means to look for something with purpose. To seek means we are looking for something with purpose. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus actively seeks out those who are far from God. Praise the Lord, he sought me out. Praise the Lord, he sought each one of you out today. He seeks you, and he seeks to bring you back into relationship with God the Father. To save involves sacrifice. Jesus gave his life so we could be saved. His mission was clear, and folks, I'm here to tell you today, he has completed it. This is why we celebrate Christmas today. Acts 4:12 shows us that salvation is exclusive. Meaning, there is salvation in no one else. No other thing. and no benefit of our own. It's not just one option among many. His birth was not the start of a new religion. Rather, his birth was the fulfillment of God's plan to bring humanity back to him. So being good is not good enough. Okay? It is through the name of Jesus Christ by which we are saved. Without Jesus, salvation is, guess what? Impossible. Without Jesus, salvation is impossible. No good deeds, no religious practices like us joining here to sing songs every Sunday morning. You could argue that that's a religious practice, and I hope that we don't treat it, but rather we're actually in front of the throne room of God, and we are singing our praise and our worship directly to Him. So let's never make that a religious practice, but it is not by our good effort, it is not by religious practices, it is not by any human effort. None of that can close the gap that is caused by sin. Nothing brings you to God and closes that gap besides Jesus. It is through His birth, it is through His death, and through His resurrection that Jesus gave us the only name that can save us. See, Christmas is more than just a baby in a manger. Christmas is more than the nativity scene that we set up and the fun graphics that we put up or the Christmas trees or the gifts that we give. Christmas shows God's love for us. Jesus came to save us, and through Him, we can have eternal life and enjoy abundant life now. Eternity will come, but guess what? We can enjoy the salvation that we have today. Salvation is the greatest gift that we can receive. The greatest gift that we can receive. And it's meant to be shared. Our salvation is meant to be shared. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And guess what? If you have been sought and found by Him, He now invites you to join Him in seeking and saving the lost. It is not us that does the saving. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's Jesus. But as Christians who have experienced grace, that have hope now, wouldn't we want to share that with those who need grace and hope around us? As we celebrate Christmas, let's remember not just the miracle of His birth, but let's also take action this year. Let's take action by sharing His love and truth with those who need it. So I want to encourage you today, this week, I want you to think about who in your life needs to hear about the hope and salvation that Jesus offers. I promise you, if you take a second to think, there is somebody in your life that needs to hear the gospel message. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and this understanding should help shape our understanding in our mission as His followers. His purpose, guess what? Becomes our purpose. His purpose is our purpose. And when we realize the depth of the love of Jesus, the light that He brings into darkness, and the salvation that He offers, we are transformed. Who here is the same person they were prior being a Christian to being a Christian today? Anybody the same? Not a single hand. I wonder why. Because He transformed you. Jesus entered our darkness to guide us out like a light piercing through smoke. So think back to the firefighter. If you've ever been around smoke and you try to think of fog. Fog acts a lot of the same way. Fog, when your eyes hit it, you can't see, can you? You put it on low and you can kind of see, and you hope that you see headlights coming towards you so you can make sure you're on the right side of the road. But it's the light that pierces through the smoke. And that is Jesus Christ offering us salvation. So Christ calls us to live out His mission by bringing His light and His hope to others. This means, church, here's your action. You've got actions on your reflection for the week, but this means that we step out of our comfort zones to share His love through kind actions, through conversations about faith, or by simply being there for someone in need. We are called. We are called to reflect His purpose, and that is to bring light into the darkness. Our church's vision here at Engage Church, our vision is engaging our community for Jesus. This is not just a slogan. Rather, it is our response to Christ's mission. Knowing that He came to seek and save the lost should inspire us to reach out to those in our community who need His light and love. So here's your application. Here's your questions. A couple fill in the blanks to finish the sermon today. Ask yourself these two questions. Who in your life is walking in darkness? Who in your life is walking in darkness and needs to experience the hope and salvation of Jesus? The second question, how can you show Christ's purpose in your daily interactions this week? How can you show Christ's purpose in your daily interactions this week? Stacy, if you'd like to make your way up. This week, as we reflect on these questions, let's remember that Jesus didn't wait for us to come to Him. He came to us. And in the very same way, let's take that first step to engage with those who need His light and His love present in their life, just like you have in yours. Let's not just celebrate the gift of salvation this Christmas. Let's share it boldly with others so they have a reason to celebrate this Christmas. This Christmas season, as we think about the reason for His coming, let's commit to living out His purpose by bringing His light and His salvation and His love to our community. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? See, today we've heard about the incredible purpose of Jesus' coming, to seek and to save the lost. His birth was just a moment in history, but it was the very beginning of a rescue mission that goes on until the day that He comes back for us. Each one of us, every one of us here today, at some point we were lost in sin. Maybe you're lost in sin right now. We're unable to save ourselves, but Jesus came to bring us back to God. That is the hope that we have. Acts 4:12, as a reminder, says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation isn't something we earn. It's a gift from God. It's available through Jesus alone. And if you've never accepted that gift this morning, or maybe you've wandered away and you want to return to Him, right now, this is your moment. This is your moment to respond. Jesus is calling you to step into His light, to receive His love, and to trust Him as your Savior. So this morning, if that is you, I want you to respond. I invite you to respond right now. Right where you're at, would you just raise your hand as a step of faith saying, Jesus, I want to follow You. If that's you, would you just raise your hand this morning? Praise the Lord. As we close today, here's what we're going to do. You guys are lucky to have a pastor that likes to do things different, that likes to have fun. And so here's what we're going to do. Today, I invite every one of you, everybody in this room, to respond to today's message. We've seen how the purpose of Jesus' coming reshapes our own purpose. Maybe you need to realign your heart with His mission. Maybe you need to ask Him to shine His light in areas of your life where you feel lost or uncertain. Or perhaps, and I pray and I hope, that God has placed someone on your heart this morning. When I mentioned a couple times, you surely know somebody who needs to experience His salvation. Perhaps He has put someone on your heart this morning who needs to experience His light and salvation. Today is a chance to pray for them and to ask God for boldness in sharing His light with them and to surrender to His purposes in their life. In fact, I have pen and papers up here on each side at the steps. I would just ask you this morning, would you come up and would you write their name down? Would you write that person that has been on your heart since I mentioned it? Pray over their name. And then when you're done praying for them, leave that name at the altar. And as you leave that name at the altar, trust that God is already working in their life. Trust that God knows best, and He's already reaching to them, speaking to them, and creating opportunities for you to share the gospel message with them. Let this act of prayer, let this writing their name down, be the start of your commitment. By doing this today, you are committing to share His love with them. And would we be a people so bold to do that? And then if you need to spend time with God, if you just need to take time to come to the altar to seek Him, to surrender to Him, or just to simply worship, I encourage you to come forward and pour out your heart. Let God know where you're at. But all together, let's step into His presence and allow Him to renew and empower us to go out and live for Him. Amen? Amen. Amen.